Chapter 5. How can educators create a school-wide culture of playful learning? In Chapter 1, we presented the principles of a pedagogy of play. The sixth principle, supportive school cultures enable playful learning to thrive, is the impetus for this chapter. A school culture, by which we mean the shared values, practices, norms, and understandings that guide behavior. A school culture where children and adults feel trusted and safe to try, experiment, and take risks is essential for playful learning to thrive. Although school cultures can exhibit strong resistance to change, change is possible. New understandings and practices that are more conducive to playful learning can be established. In this chapter, we offer ideas for fostering this change, as well as for sustaining existing cultures already supportive of playful learning. This chapter is for administrators, school leaders, and teachers with a central role in shaping school culture. Of course, some influences on school culture are beyond the control of school leaders. Systemic inequities in societies impact children, families, and educators, and will not be erased by playful practices within the school walls. National policies can also work against play and playfulness. Yet school leaders often do have influence over key components of teaching and learning, such as timetabling, curriculum, and professional development activities. School leaders also play a crucial role in guiding the culture of the school to ensure that learners and educators feel welcome, safe, and trusted. While multiple resources offer guidance in shaping these foundational aspects of school culture, in this chapter, we focus on decisions and processes that lie within the control of school leadership and speak directly to playful teaching and learning. Consider the picture of practice, Too Many Rules on the Playground. Marina and Carolina engage in several classroom strategies that promote playful learning, encouraging risk-taking, involving children in decision-making, and reflecting on learning with learners. What school-level factors enable them to enact these strategies? This example comes from a school with a strong, school-wide commitment to playful learning. Structures such as the teacher study groups and a leadership advisory group that meets regularly promote dialogue and experimentation. In the study groups, teachers engage in ongoing, meaningful professional learning in which they feel supported and encouraged to ask questions, take risks, and look at classroom documentation together to reflect on their teaching. School leadership expresses explicit support for Marina and Carolina's efforts. All of these factors support a culture that creates the conditions for playful learning. In this chapter, we share 5 school-wide practices with accompanying strategies for fostering a school culture that enables playful learning to thrive. 1. Build shared understandings about playful learning. 2. Leverage school structures like curriculum, assessment, and the physical environment to support playful learning. 3. Provide professional learning opportunities that center learning through play. 4. Foster playful community connections. And 5. Lead playfully. You'll find a table that includes all of these practices and related strategies in the show notes or in the Pedagogy of Play book. You'll notice that the leadership practices in this chapter are distinct from the teaching practices introduced in Chapter 4. While school leaders can certainly draw on the playful teaching practices, for example, building a culture of collaborative learning can extend beyond the classroom and be enacted school-wide. But we found in our research that school leaders use distinct practices to foster playful learning in their leadership roles. The practices and strategies shared here have been compiled by analyzing data from across our research, including interviews with school leaders and teachers, observations of faculty meetings, teacher study groups, and parent events from collaborating schools in Denmark, South Africa, the US, and Colombia. In Appendix A, we provide more information about how these practices were identified. Build shared understandings about playful learning. As part of this research project, we have spent many hours in schools. We have listened to children, teachers, principals, parents, and community members. One thing is clear. People hold different understandings of play and learning. This makes sense. As we've noted, although the concept of play is universal, specific ideas about play and the role of play in learning are shaped by context and culture. For this reason, you cannot assume that your faculty and colleagues will hold similar understandings of playful learning. While it is not practical or even appropriate to suggest that everyone at a school have identical understandings of playful learning, disagreement can spark productive dialogue. Yet some degree of agreement is needed for a culture of playful learning to flourish. Without such an understanding, you will face the situation described in Chapter 3, where differing conceptions of playful learning, at times, lead to educators working at cross purposes. With a shared understanding, teachers can provide coherent, playful experiences across grade levels. A shared understanding and commitment also allow teachers to feel trusted and take the risks needed to bring playful learning into their classrooms. Strategies for building shared understandings of playful learning include 1. Engaging in community conversations about the role of play in learning. 2. Develop your own indicators of playful learning. 3. Align school policies and practices with your conception of playful learning. I'll share a little bit about each of those now. First, engage in community conversations about the role of play in learning. Conversations about playful learning that honor individual experiences and perspectives create opportunities for a school community to come together around shared understandings about the role of play in learning. Let's consider an example of how such conversations can influence practice. At the International School of Billund, ISB, the school's mission reads, quote, "By placing play at the heart of education, ISB stimulates every child's natural desire to learn," end quote. This mission statement embodies a clear and common understanding about the role of play in learning. It resulted from a school-wide conversation, including students, to discuss and create a mission statement that would signal the school's commitment to playful learning. Naming play as part of the core mission makes it easier for ISB educators to consider playful moves when making decisions about curriculum, hiring, professional development, the school environment, and interactions with the larger community. Teachers do not have to justify including play in teaching, resulting in ongoing playful practice. In Too Many Rules on the Playground, we saw how Marina and Carolina are empowered to take risks and bring their ideas to leadership because the very idea of playing with their practice is encouraged by the school mission. You may not be able to redefine your school's mission with play at the center. However, consider whether there is room to include elements of playful learning, such as learners leading, exploring the unknown, or finding joy, in language that guides decision-making at your school. And provide opportunities to come together as a learning community to surface memories, beliefs, and attitudes about the role of play in learning. You might ask colleagues or families to to reflect on a playful learning experience, and share a drawing or a short story to start conversations about the conditions that allow for playful learning. For example, you could try the Storytelling and Story Acting for Older Learners tool in the Pedagogy of Play toolbox for suggestions about bringing these stories to life. Looking together at documentation from a classroom can also help ground conversations about playful learning. The next strategy is to develop your own indicators of playful learning. Pedagogy of Play researchers observed in classrooms and interviewed teachers and learners to create initial drafts of the Danish, South African, American, and Colombian indicators. Based on feedback from educators and additional observations, we finalized them. You and your colleagues can do the same, creating a collective understanding of what playful learning looks and feels like at your school. To support you in these efforts, we have created a Playful Learning Indicators Research Guide. The guide outlines 4 steps for creating indicators. 1. Forming a team and making a plan. 2. Collecting and analyzing data. 3. Creating a model. And 4. Sharing the indicators with your community. The guide is available in the toolbox. You don't have to start from scratch to create your indicators. The Playful Learning Indicator Research Guide suggests ways to use the cross-cultural indicators of leading learning, exploring the unknown, and finding joy as a starting point for understanding playful learning in your learning community. The 3 indicators can serve as compass points for developing a shared understanding of playful learning specific to your context. Alternatively, you might use the indicator models from Denmark, South Africa, the US, or Colombia if one aligns particularly well with your context. We invite you to hack these indicators and adapt them for your school. The process of creating indicators can be as valuable as the product. As part of an online course about playful learning, educators at the Bria Public Charter School in Washington, D.C., in the U.S., created their own set of indicators. The invitation to create their own indicators empowered them to put their values around playful learning into practice. That is, observing, documenting, and reflecting on playful learning gave the teachers the courage and clarity they needed to follow the children's lead and fostered trust in their own and the children's capacities as playful learners. Other educators in the course also spoke to the value of creating indicators as a way to spark meaningful conversations about teaching and learning and to develop a shared understanding of playful learning. A third strategy is to align school policies and practices with your conception of playful learning. Once you've created a shared understanding of playful learning, use it to create or adjust school policies and practices to promote a culture of playful learning. Of course, sometimes policies will be in tension with the goals of playful learning. The paradoxes are a good reminder that we need to keep children safe and let them take risks. But it is important to ensure that your rules do not prevent the playful learning you want to see in your school. Periodically examining policies, structures, rules, and traditions through the lens of learning through play can be helpful. For example, when hiring and onboarding new teachers, ask candidates about their conceptions and beliefs about play and the role of play in school. Listen for signals around what they value and use it as a chance to talk about what learning through play means to them and how they would operationalize it in their classrooms. When making hiring decisions, Principal Gavin Esterheisen from Nova Pioneer Ormond in Johannesburg focuses on teacher mindsets, choosing teachers who are open to trying new ideas, getting feedback, and who acknowledge that they do not have all the answers. The next practice we'll talk about is leverage school structures to support playful learning. You have many structures and systems in your school a curriculum you follow, timetables that guide daily life, and an established physical environment. How might you navigate or even leverage what is already in place in a way that allows playful learning to thrive? Here are some strategies for leveraging school structures to support a pedagogy of play at your school. 1. Identify opportunities for play within your curriculum. 2. Ensure that school timetables enable play. And 3. Play with your environment. We'll share a little bit more about each of those now. First, identify opportunities for play within your curriculum. In this book, we have offered principles, practices, and examples from the classroom about playful learning. What we have not offered is a curriculum or a set of playful lessons. Still, curriculum is important. What curricular structures support or make room for learning through play? There is more than one way to think about this. There are curricula that have been shown to be particularly conducive to learning through play in schools, such as those designed around experiential, inquiry-based, and project-based learning. The Reggio Emilia approach, Montessori education, expeditionary learning, and the International Baccalaureate curriculum are also fertile ground for playful teaching and learning. Consider whether the curriculum approach used in your school is play-friendly. Will it accommodate the POP practices? Does it allow for teacher and learner autonomy and invite community members to co-design norms, rules, and routines? Does the curriculum in your school support a culture that 1. Empowers learners to lead their own learning. It centers the learner and learners' or experiences. 2. Does it build a culture of collaborative learning? Does it value and promote the social nature of learning? 3. Promotes experimentation and risk-taking, supporting integrated and interdisciplinary study, embracing learning experiences that are open-ended and flexible, celebrates testing and trying and being transparent about mistakes. 4. Encourages imaginative thinking, inviting adaptation, innovation, invention, and out-of-the-box ideas. And 5. Welcomes all emotions that surface in learning, focusing on the whole child, not just academic or cognitive development. Perhaps you're designing your curriculum from the ground up, or redesigning or realigning an existing curriculum. The above characteristics can guide conversations to help you choose a structure that supports learning through play. Or perhaps you're working with a prescribed curriculum that does not offer clear and easy options for integrating playful learning. Advocating for play on a systemic level might involve a close examination of the opportunities and challenges of integrating playful learning, or it might involve looking for opportunities to engage a playful hack. There are a number of resources in the POP toolbox, like the Imaginative Sparks Generator, Play Kits, the Playful Learning Planner, and Selecting Thinking Routines that can support educators in making these small moves. Once you've considered your curricular approach, think about the systems of assessment in your school and reflect on how they reflect your policies around play. Ongoing, embedded, authentic assessment practices, such as pedagogical documentation, portfolios, and narrative reports, are conducive to assessing the rich learning that happens through play. Summative assessments can also be playful in nature. At ISB, which follows the International Baccalaureate curriculum, teachers frequently design dynamic summative assessments at the end of a unit with input from their classes. For example, primary teachers wrapping up a unit on weather designed a video-based summative assessment in which students worked in pairs to write and broadcast weather reports that included key learnings from the unit. Letting students make decisions about their assessments when appropriate centers and empowers the learner. Students at Codman Academy in the U.S., for example, were upset to learn that their advisory groups were suddenly going to be graded, noting that they did not come to CRU, their homeroom advisory, to get graded. They come, quote, to feel better, or hang out, or whatever, end quote. Hearing about students' concerns, their teacher, Sydney Chaffee, invited them to co-construct the grading system in a way that honored student needs while respecting school policy. The next strategy, ensure that school timetables enable play. Part of the consideration for whether a particular curriculum is play-friendly is the fixed nature of time. Recall the paradoxes from Chapter 1, where time, perceptions, and policies can be at odds with playful learning in school. Play is timeless, as children lose themselves in play, while timetables and set routines set the flow of learning in school. Navigating this paradox may be easier, meaning a yes-and resolution is more likely, if time is flexible and malleable. Consider providing teachers the agency and flexibility to make in-the-moment decisions about extending a class period to allow for ongoing playful learning, or deviate from a set plan to follow children's inquiry, even if it means hacking the timetable. Sometimes the playful hack is even bigger. Executive Director Tracy Walker Griffith from the Elliott School in Boston, in the U.S., changed the entire school schedule to add what is called the EPIC block. EPIC stands for Elliott, Play, Innovate, Create. Each day, every student, kindergarten through eighth grade, has the opportunity to explore and play for an hour. Students choose from a menu of cross-disciplinary topics that last for several weeks. Topics include creating board games to teach about home economics and designing anime characters. As we saw in facilitating a student-composed schedule, sometimes the whole system needs a playful hack. Leveraging school cultures in support of playful learning can also happen through more direct moves by leadership. For example, allocating time for adult play, experimentation, and inquiry. This signals to the whole community the importance and value of playfulness in school. The next strategy is to play with your environment. How you design and set up physical learning spaces throughout a school, whether classrooms, hallways, conference rooms, lunchrooms, or the playground, signals the importance of playful learning and supports playful learning practices. Through observations and interviews with practitioners, it is clear that the physical environment impacts possibilities for playful learning, an insight confirmed by the literature about engaging learning environments. Consider how the architecture and furnishings in your school provide flexibility for teachers and students to make choices about their learning. For instance, does the furniture or room design allow for different ways students can configure themselves to work independently or in groups? Are there areas that might be set up to support varied learning approaches or tasks? As you consider the architecture, furnishings, materials, and general aesthetics of the learning environment in your school, be on the lookout for whether learners and teachers have agency over their environment. Can they make decisions about how to organize space? Are learners of all abilities able to freely access varied and flexible spaces and have access to a variety of resources? Do learners feel safe and trusted to explore their physical environment and take reasonable risks in their learning? Do the aesthetic elements of the learning space, like light, transparency, finishes, acoustics, etc., do they evoke joy and wonder and curiosity? These considerations do not mean that playful schools must be well-resourced with abundant materials, innovative classroom furniture, or fancy fixtures. In fact, in our research with schools in the U.S., South Africa, Colombia, and Denmark, we saw a range of resourcefulness and creativity in thinking about how to best leverage the classroom environment for playful learning. Simple classrooms that have four walls, desks, and chairs can become spaces that foster playfulness by moving desks into clusters rather than rows. Inviting children to bring found or recycled objects to decorate the room or use as learning materials. And displaying learners' creative work, like paintings, drawings, or writing, with care on the walls. Easily found natural materials, stones, leaves, sand, sticks, paper, pencils, or even shadow play provide wonderful opportunities for curiosity, wonder, and exploration, and require little money or material resources. Even as the impact of COVID-19 forced children in Bogota, Colombia, to learn from home, resourceful teachers and families worked together to transform everyday household items into magical learning props. Perhaps the most powerful move educators in low-resourced schools can make involves learners and their families imagining and creating new possibilities for their classroom and school environments. Learners and their families may have ideas about how to arrange the furniture, items they could create for the classroom through community effort, or simple materials that they might want to contribute. You might be surprised at their unexpected ideas that can transform a dull gray learning space into a place that evokes joy and wonder. The next practice we'll talk about is provide playful professional learning opportunities. In Chapter 3, we described characteristics of teaching that support playful learning, where educators are leading their teaching, exploring the unknown with their students, and finding joy in their work. There are many connections between teachers' professional learning and their students' playful learning. Teachers encouraged to be imaginative educators are likely to encourage imaginative thinking. Teachers supported in being curious and courageous are more likely to promote experimentation and risk-taking. Teachers who feel cared for by the school culture are well poised to welcome all emotions generated through play. Some educators are naturally predisposed to be imaginative, curious, and caring. Others may need support to activate a playful mindset. In either case, these characteristics can be cultivated. This practice centers learning through play and provides strategies for cultivating playful mindsets through a range of in-service professional learning opportunities. Here are four strategies to help you provide playful professional learning. 1. Onboard new staff through and about play. 2. Design playful staff workshops and meetings. 3. Provide playful mentoring and coaching. 4. Support playful participatory research. In the POP toolbox, you can also find a planning tool for crafting playful professional learning experiences. Talk a little bit more about each of those strategies now. 1. Onboard new staff through and about play. When new teachers join your school, you have a unique opportunity to connect with them right from the start with your school's philosophy and values. If playful learning is a core value at your school, communicate that clearly during the onboarding process. Of course, an important step is making sure a stance supporting playful learning is articulated in your school handbook and in onboarding materials for teachers. Follow this up by using playful experiences to introduce your new educators to school policies and structures. For example, you could create a set of questions or conversation starters about the role of play at your school to explore values and beliefs about playful learning. Print or write out the questions as a deck of cards and use them during onboarding orientation to spark discussion about learning through play. This could be a one-on-one activity or done as a group with new teachers. Invite new teachers to use play materials like Play-Doh, natural materials, or art materials to represent past experiences with learning through play, or to envision what learning through play will look like in their future classroom. Or follow the lead of the International School of Billund. They created a board game to introduce the pedagogy of play principles, see chapter 1 for that, for new teachers. Notice that these playful onboarding experiences are intentional. Each invite new teachers to learn about what is important about playful learning at their school, while also sharing about themselves and their teaching and learning experiences. In addition, encouraging new teachers to play can offer a chance for them to become familiar with and explore your school's curriculum. What this looks like will vary depending on the age of the children and the content of the curriculum. For example, when onboarding a new primary school teacher, make time during your onboarding workshop to play with the math manipulatives included in the curriculum and invent new games to teach math concepts. Or, for a new middle school science teacher, provide time to experiment with the equipment and supplies in the science lab to see what possibilities emerge. Selecting and facilitating a design challenge in the POP toolbox can be helpful in identifying such activities. Creating time for this type of open-ended exploration sends a powerful message to teachers that they are welcome and encouraged to continue to play themselves and foster playful learning in their classrooms. When you invite new teachers to engage in play, explain why and how you planned a playful learning experience for them. For example, by relating the learning experiences to your school's playful learning indicators. This models how you think about designing playful learning across the school and offers teachers an example of what they might do in their own classrooms. Finally, consider pairing new teachers with a playful mentor teacher at your school. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Getting started with new teachers in an intentional, supported, and playful way can have a big impact on fostering playful teachers who are joyful, collaborative, and intentional about teaching through play. And of course, feeling cared for as they begin teaching in a new school is also likely to lead teachers being more caring with their students. Strategy 2. Design playful staff workshops and meetings. Teacher workshops and staff meetings offer the opportunity for educators to engage in playful learning and develop a playful mindset. Staff meetings can become a dreaded experience for educators if the agenda is dry and filled with reviewing rules and regulations or talking about dull logistics. Similarly, professional learning workshops might be viewed with skepticism or frustration if teachers feel the topics are disconnected from their daily practice and questions, or if the sessions are not engaging. What does it take to transform these moments into opportunities for playful adult learning? Playful staff meetings and workshops often begin with developing co-constructed norms about how you and your colleagues will spend your time together, along with norms such as start and end on time, or listen to understand. Consider including norms that foster playfulness, such as risk-taking is encouraged here, or laughter, singing, and dancing welcome, or playing with ideas is expected. With established norms that encourage playfulness, design your staff meetings or workshops with playfulness in mind. We've seen several examples of this through the POP research. For one, making play dates for educators. At the Nova Pioneer Amman School in South Africa, the staff start the school year with a playful learning experience for themselves. Each teacher signs up to learn something they don't know how to do, such as building small rockets or learning a new dance. When the school shares this experience in their family newsletter, they're modeling that everyone in the school community is a playful learner. The playful spirit is infectious and invokes curiosity and enjoyment for the families as well. Another example, engage staff in meaningful, interactive work during meetings and workshops. At ISB in Denmark, school leader Camilla Fogg uses the ISB indicators of choice, wonder, and delight to plan her all-school monthly staff meetings. She provides a social half hour with dinner before the meetings and opens the meetings playfully, for example, with a skit, to foster feelings of delight. Then, teachers engage in purposeful and playful planning about school structures and policies using art materials or Google Docs in small group interactive discussions. A third example, play with materials. Consider including playful workshops centered around working with materials, so teachers at all levels have a chance to explore and work with loose parts and consider ways they can incorporate these into their teaching. And a fourth example, have what-if conversations. In the picture of practice, Playful Learning Online, you will learn about how children engage in explorations of light and shadow and enjoy dance classes from their homes. The Colombian teachers who facilitated these experiences had spent some of their staff meeting time wondering, what if? Generating new ideas for learning to thrive in a challenging situation during COVID-19 online learning. Talking about the opportunities rather than the limitations of online teaching during staff meetings contributed to these examples of playful learning for children. The POP Toolbox has a number of resources you can use in designing playful staff gatherings, including creating a culture of risk-taking tool, which could apply to staff meetings as well, the license to hack cards, the selecting thinking routines tool, say yes to the mess, and selecting and facilitating a design challenge. The third strategy is about providing playful mentoring and coaching. Coaching and mentoring provide educators regular cycles of feedback and support. Extensive research in schools that offer sustained coaching or mentoring finds that these tools are a powerful way to promote shifts in teaching practice, foster a sense of connection, and increase feelings of support and well-being. In our research in South Africa, Denmark, the US, and Colombia, coaching and mentoring were frequently observed and discussed as essential components of playful teaching. Think back to the two teachers at the Esikasini Primary School in South Africa, referenced in the picture practice, Soil Types and Plants. Ntombifuthi Chilone, the newer teacher, describes how she was mentored by veteran teacher and peer mentor Kabezwane Chesi. Ntombifuthi was guided in her practice by Kabezwane and was supported emotionally to take risks in her teaching. Both teachers describe benefiting from this peer mentoring relationship, and both describe it as a factor that helped them to be more playful educators. Several teachers in the US schools also describe peer mentoring as a powerful support behind their playful teaching. For example, both the Elliott and the Josiah Quincy schools have mentoring programs that play a crucial role in cultivating a playful school culture. Kelly Garcelon, a teacher at Josiah Quincy, describes her mentor as a lifesaver and says it was, quote, the best thing ever, unquote, to have a mentor. Kelly and her peer mentor had a weekly lunch together during her first year at the school, the aim of which was to laugh, connect, and talk through tough issues coming up in the classroom. Kelly's mentor helped her cultivate many of the characteristics of a playful educator. Being cared for cultivated her ability to be caring to her students. Laughing and bonding with her mentor sparked joy. Problem solving with another teacher promoted creativity. And having someone to talk through ideas with encouraged more risk-taking and flexibility. Coaching encourages teachers to take risks, try new things, and be curious about learning and developing their practice. Using coaching or mentoring to foster learning through play means that play should be central to the mentoring process. Consider using a coaching framework or tool that values teaching through play. For example, if you have your own indicators of playful learning, use this as a tool for grounding coaching or mentoring reflections and discussions. Through coaching or mentoring, teachers feel supported rather than surveilled. These processes can make teacher evaluation a supportive, constructive process rather than a punitive one. And now the fourth strategy, support playful participatory research. The teachers in the picture of practice, facilitating a student-composed schedule, and too many rules on the playground, were part of study groups, engaging in something called playful participatory research, or PPR. PPR is a form of participatory teacher research that is both a professional learning tool and a research approach. Participatory research invites teachers to collect data, analyze results, and use the knowledge generated to solve problems in their own communities. This process positions educators as knowledgeable professionals capable of conducting research in their own schools. PPR builds on this tradition of teachers as researchers and adds a playful component to the process. We developed the PPR approach with educators at ISB. Our research with ISB teachers found that the PPR process was useful to the teachers' professional learning. It helped them navigate the paradoxes between play and school and fostered playfulness in their teaching. This is not surprising. Other research has shown that the most effective approaches in supporting teacher professional learning are not through single workshops, but rather in ongoing embedded professional development processes that are relevant to and shaped by the teachers themselves. Playful participatory research offers exactly this sort of professional learning environment. The PPR process begins with educators posing questions about teaching and learning that are relevant and meaningful to them. In Too Many Rules on the Playground, Marina and Carolina's question was, what happens when there are fewer rules on the playground? In a school that takes on PPR as a core component of their professional development plan, teachers are supported in their research through ongoing study groups that meet regularly. They are encouraged by their administrators to take risks, try out ideas, and tinker with their teaching practice. Individual teachers can also engage in PPR on their own, although we recommend that anyone engaging in PPR collaborate in some way with others. That could be other educators, families, students, or a combination, to support reviewing and analyzing documentation, as well as trying playful provocations to help explore research questions. You can see a graphic overview of how playful participatory research works in the POP book or in the show notes. The POP tool, Selecting Thinking Routines, is particularly relevant to facilitating conversations in PPR groups. You can find a PPR guide in the POP toolbox for more details about the research process and examples of PPR in action. Moving on to our next practice. Remember at the beginning of this chapter, we talked about 5 playful learning school-wide practices. We have talked about the first 3 so far. The 4th practice is foster playful community connections. The success of playful practices often depends on the degree to which systemic conditions support them. Playful practices are more likely to take hold and thrive when there's a community-wide support for playful learning. School-wide rituals, family engagement, and making connections beyond school walls build support for playful learning. 3 strategies that encourage community connections are 1. Create playful rituals and celebrations. 2. Engage playfully with families. 3. Find opportunities for school-community partnerships. Let's dig into each of those. First, create playful rituals and celebrations. Whole school assemblies, gatherings, and school-wide rituals are prime opportunities to share your school's commitment to learning through play with the whole community. Consider how you might highlight learners' voices and include them in the planning and implementation of community events. Welcome ideas that make visible the importance of risk-taking, innovation, and learning and playing together. Although whole school events are typically carefully crafted, Leave room for serendipity and surprise. In our research, we have observed rituals and celebrations that highlight playful learning. Bryandale Pre-Primary in South Africa offers play dates for the adults in the learning community. Before school on Fridays, teachers and administrators come together to play children's games. They laugh together, play together, and reflect on their experience. Doing this not only gives them a more empathetic lens into what it's like for the children to play, like, now I understand why the kids always bump into each other, but it also provides an opportunity for kids and parents to see the teachers playing as they enter the building for drop-off. This becomes a talking point for teachers to consider with families how play is central to the way children learn in school. At the International School of Billund, Passion Days are woven intermittently throughout the school year as a time when regular classes are suspended so that students can have dedicated time to explore their own interests. Children are invited to plan and choose the learning they want to explore, whether skateboarding, chess, or cooking. As the school head, Camilla Fogg, explains in a letter to parents, quote, "The goal of Passion Day is to give students the opportunity to spend time at school pursuing their own interests with the support of enthusiastic teachers and inspiring resources. You might think of it as the ISB equivalent of Google's 20% time, a concept that gives engineers a portion of their workday to explore their own projects and interests, the results of which include Gmail and Google Translate." End quote. The next strategy is to engage playfully with families. Engaging with families can be challenging, with barriers such as schedules, language differences, limited internet access, transportation to in-person events, and even priorities or differing belief systems, making it difficult to connect about playful learning. Yet, just as it is important for educators to have a shared understanding of the value of and practices around playful learning in their school, it is also essential for families to be involved. Inviting parents or guardians into playful, whole school rituals and routines is one way to bring home and school together. In the Passion Day example, parents are often invited to teach about something they're passionate about. In the Bryandale example, the teacher playdates were intentionally timed to coincide with drop-off time to promote conversations with families. Although it caused significant negative impacts on learning, the school closures that resulted from COVID-19 demonstrated how school and family connections could be leveraged in support of playful learning. In Playful Learning Online, 4-year-olds at Colegio El Nogal in Bogota were supported by family members in their exploration of shadows. And as the Elliott School in Boston pivoted to online learning, the leadership moved quickly to get kids access to computers, to get food-insecure children their lunches, and to connect parents and teachers via text to ensure all children had what they needed for home learning. Online back-to-school nights were held to orient families to the new systems involved in distance learning in order to help maintain the school's playful approach. There are many entry points for families to become involved to develop and deepen connections between playful learning that happens at home and at school. The Pedagogy of Play blog post called Families as Allies in the Construction of a Culture of Playful Learning in Schools identifies opportunities to engage with families along a continuum, from home-based activities to inviting families into playful participatory research with teachers. Offering multiple options at different points on the continuum enables families to choose a path of engagement that works for them. You can see a graphic of that continuum in the Pedagogy of Play book or in the show notes. For example, create platforms that are easy for families to access when sharing documentation about playful learning. Paper handouts or posters, displays in the entryway of your school, digital portfolios, or social media platforms can also be helpful. You might create a handout for families about the benefits of playful learning, with examples from your school, or create a long-term display in your school's playful learning indicators, and examples of how playful learning comes alive in different classrooms and subjects, and put that near the school's entrance. The Getting to Know Your Learners and Selecting and Facilitating a Design Challenge tools in the POP Toolbox can also be adapted to use in meetings and conversations with families. And one more strategy under this practice. Find opportunities for school community partnerships. You may remember from the cross-cultural indicators of playful learning we shared in Chapter 3 that meaning emerged as a key indicator from the 6 schools in the U.S. Calvin, a 7th grader at the Atrium School, explained that a meaningful, playful learning experience involves, quote, something relevant to our lives, an object or a person that allows us to connect with it and become involved with it, end quote. Tabiti Brown, head of school at Codman Academy, describes how playful learning connects to issues of importance in the wider world. Learning for his community is connected to family and friends, to interests both in and out of school, and to the lived realities of their students. Learning is not only more playful, but more engaging and deeper when it feels purposeful. One way to foster these connections is to plan experiences that bridge learning with events, people, and opportunities beyond school walls. You might look for organizations in the community, such as museums or businesses, that align with lessons and support learning. Consider bringing your students into these organizations, or invite staff or community members into your classroom. Look for ways students can contribute to municipal events or decision-making. In South Africa, Esekhosini principal Steve Mapeya creates partnerships with athletic and artistic organizations, providing learning experiences learners likely may not get at home, like instruction in piano or rugby. In Denmark, ISB students are often seen throughout the community, learning at the library, contributing to municipal conversations and decisions, and participating in the design and implementation of local festivals. Developing and supporting learning that extends into the community can be mutually beneficial for schools, families, and neighborhoods. At the José Asunción Silva School in Bogotá, a school that serves children from low-resourced families, community relationships, collaborations, and dedicated leadership helped turn the school around. Formerly infamous in the community for student conflict, drug use, and violence, Principal Judith Guevara Uribe started a play-infused after-school program to make the school a safer place for children and learning. Students and teachers turned a public park close to the school into a playful, safe environment for children and their families. With more time for learning, including after-school classes in swimming, cheerleading, basketball, dance, and music, and safe spaces for play, absentee rates dropped and student learning increased. And this brings us to the final practice of this chapter, lead playfully. We open this chapter by noting the importance of the adult learning culture mirroring the student learning culture. If you want your students' experiences to be characterized by playfulness, make sure that you, as a school leader, are modeling playfulness and leading with a playful approach. 3 strategies to keep in mind as you lead by playful example are 1. Get feedback. 2. Make playful learning visible. And 3. Model playfulness. We'll take the first. Get feedback. No matter what ideas you try from this chapter, be sure to regularly ask members of your school community to share their experiences with you. For example, ask teachers to share thoughts on their professional learning, considering whether and how they experienced agency, opportunities to explore the unknown, and joy. When families join you for a school celebration, offer a way for them to share if and when they experience playfulness. For example, by jotting down a reflection and sticking it on the door as they leave. If you've created your own indicators of playful learning, use them to ground conversations. Providing copies of your indicators and inviting educators, families, or learners to reflect on how they experience playful learning during a staff meeting, family gathering, or in-school activity can be helpful feedback to you about whether participants really experienced playful learning. This feedback will help you to adapt your playful learning approaches. A second strategy, make playful learning visible. When you design a more playful learning space, create opportunities for playful teacher professional learning, or cultivate a school community partnership that enhances play, make sure that learning is visible within and beyond your school. For example, share in a family newsletter what happened during a playful staff meeting or in your peer mentoring program. Encourage teachers to talk about their learning with their classes. Dedicate wall space in a central area of your school where the whole school community can see what is happening when teachers learn together. Teachers, families, and children taking risks, playing together, being curious, and experiencing joy models for learners of all ages that playful learning can and should be a lifelong process. ISB hosts an annual Celebration of Learning showcasing the teacher research conducted in study groups throughout the year. And a third strategy, model playfulness. Finally, demonstrate to the community that you take risks, experiment, and you are willing to be vulnerable. Walking the walk helps create a culture of playfulness, builds trust, and lets others feel safe to take their own risks. Transparency is key. For instance, at a staff meeting, say, "I'm not sure how this is going to go, but we're going to try." Reflect on these experiments with your staff. You might remember the license to hack cards in the POP toolbox. In addition to giving students permission to change the learning experience, give yourself not only a license to hack, but a license to experiment with new ideas. A final thought, creating a school-wide culture of playful learning. Research and experience make clear the challenges of changing ingrained behaviors in schools. Schools are complex ecological systems where new ideas cannot simply be installed, but rather require support and buy-in from various stakeholders. The change we are proposing, to create a learning culture that supports playful learning, that requires the whole school community to come together and build shared values about playful learning. It requires leveraging school structures to support playful learning, providing professional learning opportunities that center learning through play, and fostering playful community connections. Thoughtful school heads know they're not the only leaders in the building. Wise teachers understand that, even if it's not in their job description, they are responsible for supporting a healthy school culture. Creating a school-wide culture of playful learning is not something that can be done by one person or even a few. It's a team sport. How should you get started? One step at a time. Begin with your leadership team or a few colleagues you think might be inspired by the ideas you read about here. Ask yourself which colleagues might be eager to collaborate in planning a playful staff meeting or rethinking your onboarding program. Invite them in. Share this chapter with them and talk about the practices and strategies that resonate with you. Together, choose one or two practices to try out first. Plan a way to communicate your playful stance to families. Maybe through a small step of having a morning coffee to talk about the importance of playful learning. And get feedback about what you try. One step leads to the next. Along the way, you will likely find more and more allies among your colleagues, families, and school community members. Return to the ideas in this chapter gradually and try new strategies over time. Little by little, a lot of playful leading and learning can happen.